It's Tennessee Titans talk. Chargers week, week two.
Here we go, baby.
All right, we're back with you. We just missed you guys so much. We appreciate everybody listening. We didn't win, and we've had people tell us, oh, people only listen to the podcast when the Titans are winning. That isn't true.
You're darn right. You know, you win some, you lose some, but you live to play another day.
I think the biggest thing is going to be a bounce back in week two. We have a tough early schedule. It's so interesting. The Titans are one of a small handful of teams that you could really believe that they would make the playoffs, and you could really believe that they'd be like a top three picking team. If we have the wrong injuries or that offensive line just craters, this schedule isn't doing us any favors. Would you agree that the Titans are on that very short list of, wow, this could go either way?
Yeah, we're rarely ever at the top, and we're rarely ever at the bottom. We're always that middling of the pack team that, you know, could surprise or could disappoint, you know, but it's kind of like a Vrabel mentality. Even before Vrabel, I mean, Jeff Fisher was the ultimate 8-8 guy, which, you know, we've kind of unfortunately kept that mantra. 2019 and 2020, they were just incredible years for us as Titans fans, but we usually hang around the middle of the pack, and we're one of those teams that's never horrible, but we're never going to just light up the scoreboard 1-0.
We obviously had the number one overall seed two seasons ago. That gets overlooked because of our play style, and I think how we did it is just so many close games. A lot of fans, especially younger fans, seem to want us to be one or the other, right? They want us to, you know, picking first or second, or they want us to be the Chiefs. I'm proud of this team overall the last 5 or 6 years, and overall the record's been really good. It is been frustrating because we didn't capitalize when we absolutely had that chance, and that's just going to take time. If something breaks your heart, it takes time, sometimes more than time. That we're going to talk about that playoff game against Cincinnati here for years for a reason, because that was like,
that was it.
That was our chance, right? We beat the teams that moved on, and we're not a broken record because it's going to take time. And I think that casts a shadow to where most of our fan base says, yeah, well, we've just been mediocre at best. Well, that isn't really true.
But well,
it's
no.
It's the optics, right? It's the look,
right?
Because of your best moment was followed by just a big what if.
Well, and think about that. Right, exactly. What if? Think about that Bengals playoff game. We played relatively well, all things considered. If those three picks don't happen, you know, unfortunately, very reminiscent on Sunday with Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean,
three
the
picks,
big problem was Tannehill and the play calling. And that was a problem Sunday.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's been
and
the
same exact thing.
Left.
Yep.
It makes you just wonder. It makes you wonder a lot of things. If we'd have won that game, would we have traded A.J. Brown? This is our podcast, so we're going to ruminate. This is what my therapist calls ruminating. And fellas and ladies, I tend to ruminate. And I'm ruminating right now because
I'm such
AJ
a ruminator.
Brown, but John Robinson and Joe Burrow and everybody just broke my heart. I'm going to send them a counseling bill.
Yeah. Well, we sat in those seats. Well, yeah, we sat in those stupid seats for probably about 40 minutes after that game and watched those Bengals fans celebrate. I was ready to throw every single one of them right off the top rope. They were going to go.
It'd be interesting that rematch in a few weeks, and I hope we got a few good wins under our belt, starting with this Los Angeles Chargers game. The Chargers are very much of the Titans in that they've had a good passing game my entire life. They had a good passing game with Dan Fouts and those guys before I was born, when nobody was passing. And now they've always found a way to look really good and get a lot of wins and find a way to lose. Now, we find a way to lose, but we win ugly. They lose pretty? How do they?
I was just going to say, they lose pretty.
Because, I mean, oh, man, here come the Chargers, this, that, all those years with Phillip Rivers. I think Phillip Rivers propped them up. I didn't think they were that good of a team, 1-53 in the front office. And I think Herbert is doing the same thing. I think if they didn't have just fall backwards into an elite quarterback for the last 20 years, literally, they would have been known as one of the worst franchises in the game. I really think that now they have some talent and they're good on offense, but they find a way to underperform at the end of the season. I mean, every year. So I think it'll be interesting to see those two contrasting styles because they'll go up and down the field. They'll do all kinds of stuff. They find a way to lose. And we look really bad and kick field goals, and a lot of times we find a way to win. What's the convergence for you? What are you most excited to see Sunday?
We may have talked about it earlier, but we have to rebound. You know, Tannehill has to be better. Henry has to get going. They have to get him more involved. And we really just have to get back to Titan football because as close as the game was on Sunday, that was not Titan football. We abandoned the run game. We abandoned Henry. We were forcing ugly passes. That was not Titan football. Titan defense showed up. They played Titan football. But yeah, we got to get back to Titan football. And we need to run the ball right down their throats. And that's how we're going to beat this team. They have, like you said, they have talent. They're, like you mentioned, they're a middling team, kind of like us. And they've been propped up, like you said, by Rivers, by Herbert, and they're propped up now by their star players. They've got a couple players that will have incredible Sundays, and you know, you'll see Herbert throw for 400 and Eckler run for 150. Like you said, they'll find a way to lose, and that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. Their stars don't really scare me as much as they might have before. You know, you've got Joey Bosa, you've got Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack is a, don't get me wrong, still an incredible talent, but a mere shadow of his former self when he was with the Raiders and pretty much up for defensive MVP. They've got Derwin James. He's always going to be a good player, but all those guys, they're all hurt. So they don't scare me that much. I think we talked about it really quick on our last episode. The thing that scares me the most is Austin Eckler getting out in space and just, you know, taking screen passes or little swing passes, dump off passes, and just ripping us apart. Because that is an area of the field that we are horrible at. We always lose contain on a guy like that. And that's something that I really need us to focus on.
I agree with you, Eckler. I don't know that we match up so well against him, and he can be so slippery. I'm really interested to see the turf. I'm really interested to see how Eckler, who is, you know, an elite running back, and Henry, who's an elite running back in a very different way. I'm kind of interested to see which type of player benefits the most, because a lot of times you'll see a surface benefit a certain type of player. They have a lot to recover from after last week. They have a lot on the line. They have to go on the road and do it. I think a lot of people will do the eyeball test and after how we look Sunday, just assume we're going to lose this game because the Chargers have a lot of front-end talent. I think it'll be really interesting. I think the weather will be good and kind of be an advantage to them, but it's going to be really interesting to see. Big fella, if you were going to wear a jersey, if you're a Chargers fan and you were wearing a jersey Sunday, you could have any jersey, who would it be?
Man, I loved when we did
that. As it were, or what do you think is the most iconic Charger?
We haven't done this in a while, and this has always been one of my favorite things. Man, there are quite a few good ones. If I'm going to pick a Charger that's iconic for being a Charger, there are some guys I do love that have made their way onto the Chargers team, but they're not like the Chargers stalwarts. I think a guy that I really like and would wear the jersey, it's a toss-up. But I think I would lean towards Junior Seau. I think just his time in the league, he was an incredibly feared defender, a really smart football player, and as intense as all get out. I mean, he was just whistle, sideline to sideline. He was the dude. I remember watching him on Sundays and then playing with him on Madden for the remaining or the rest of the day. Like, you know, the guy was unreal.
In 2019, when we went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he has an iconic bust there, and I think it is obviously very sad what happened to him, and kind of gives a little more mystique to it in a very sad way, because he gave his life to football, I think, not knowing that he was doing so. And it's tragic, but he was just his personality, and that 95 Super Bowl, you know, and all that was just really interesting stuff. You know, I like the Bosa.
Oh, yeah.
Bosa would be fun, but I'd want to do a throwback. You know, Philip Rivers is from not far from here and not far from where I grew up, but it's too close for me to kind of be able to root for him because he played against the Titans and all. But there's a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
I'd be really excited about Herbert if he played for us. So I can imagine that would be a
big one. God, that'd be great.
But I really liked Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
You know, kind of the basketball
player. Oh, yeah.
Out of nowhere. And he was just a really, really, really good player. I know Titans fans like Lorenzo Neal. He was great for us, and he was great for them. That'd be a fun one to have. I know you liked Eric Weddle. He played a couple years for them. I don't know. You love Derwin James.
Yeah.
It's low-key. They don't have the histories of some of the other teams we play, but there's some fun jerseys.
Couple other guys I considered. Takiyo Spikes, he's always going to be up there
for
me.
He's terrifying.
Dwight Freeney, one of my all-time favorite players. Got to meet him at the Syracuse football camp when I was in high school.
You told that
it was
story
awesome.
So much. I love it.
It was awesome. The other one I was thinking, you know, he's a maniac post-playing career, but Sean Merriman, man, when he played, he was just another dude that was so intense. I mean, and then, you know, he apparently chokeslammed Tila Tequila, and then it was, you know, it was over. His life was kind of over. I don't know. He was one of those guys that was just a little too wild off the field, and he kind of spiraled out.
Big fella, let's talk injury report, both teams. Let's start with the Titans. What's your best guess on who's going to be available based on what you're hearing?
Yeah, so everything I'm seeing looks like Treylon Burks is going to be a full go. He was good. He was on the injury report for a non-football reason, so all seems well with him. Monty Hooker, I would be very surprised if he clears concussion protocol. You know, we saw him have an incredible game on Sunday, and then he left early with concussion.
We would really miss him.
Oh, we would not be in the game if it weren't
for
him.
Very big for our defense.
Yeah, big time. And we need more guys like that. So DeAndre Hopkins, he was a DNP, so do not practice all week so far, with an ankle injury. He went down in the fourth quarter. He got up on his own power. He looked fine. I wouldn't be surprised if a veteran like him, if this is mostly just rest and getting adjusted and all that kind of stuff. So I'd like to think that he'll be good to go for Sunday. Other things to note, Dylan Raidens, he was a full participant at practice. So we waived Jordan Roos from the practice squad. So it makes me think that Raidens will be active on Sunday. So first time we'll see him all season after he tore his ACL last year. Also, Trey Avery. I know it's hard to get excited about a fourth or fifth quarter, but he was a full practice after not playing and being inactive last week. He had some shining moments last season where he kind of stood up to the test, and he really graded out well on quite a few plays last year. Really some bright spots. So he's a guy.
His moments last season, and I think it's all hands on deck. I hope he plays for sure. I think it does matter.
Especially the one guy we haven't talked about yet is Fulton. He's a limited practice with another hamstring issue. I mean, this guy, his hamstrings might be made of yarn. Like, it's ridiculous. I would love LSU to give us a refund on our corners, because he's a joke. His injury concerns. He's supposed to be one of the leaders of this defense, and we need him to be. So I'm kind of disappointed in him, if you can't tell. As far as the Chargers, as much as I hate to say it, they look pretty healthy. We've got Joey Bosa, did not practice with a hamstring issue. I imagine a guy like Bosa, he's probably going to find a way to go and they're going to be okay. But, you know, something to note there. He might not be good to go. Austin Eckler hasn't practiced this week either with an ankle. I don't know, Nathan, I don't know if you've seen this on the injury reports, but they've got his designation as DNP with an ankle injury. And then it's,
what does NR mean? Yeah, NIR?
Not injury related. So how could you have an ankle injury and a not injury related designation?
Oh, it means there's some reason, like he had a personal issue maybe.
Well, right. And if that were the case, I would expect to see just that. But they list an ankle and not injury related. So I think that's kind of weird, but whatever.
And your ankle can be hurt and your grandma could be sick. I hope not. You know, but I'm guessing maybe it's a little bit of both. I don't know.
I guess.
So I know the league really gets on them to be absolutely upfront totally about the injury report. And so I guess I'm like, oh yeah, well, we gave them a personal day, so let's put that on there too. I don't know.
Yeah, I got a hurt ankle and I had some bad popcorn. So yeah. But other than that, they're pretty healthy.
Well, I know it's early in the season, but that's always going to be a factor. I think Hooker is the biggest name as far as that could affect this game. They played Miami in a really interesting, fun game, and they lose. But offensively, they look good. Not only did Eckler go off, 16 carries, 117 yards, 4 catches, 47 yards. Joshua Kelly, the old Tennessee running back, 16 carries, 91 yards, and a touchdown. So they ran all over Miami. Now, that's our strength.
Yeah.
Are they going to do that against us, or does that bode well for us? Because I think our run defense is one of the best in the NFL.
I would agree. I mean, I do not believe they're going to run on us like they did on Miami. However, Miami has some pretty decent pieces to that puzzle too. I mean, they don't have a defensive line like we do, and they don't get after it like we do. And their corners, crazy enough to say it, are worse than ours. So I kind of like our especially, you know, guarding against the run. And if we can hold up a little bit in pass, you know, in our defensive backfield, I really, really like our chances to keep it, to keep their offense in check. Now, sure, like, you know, I want us to have the bend but don't break defense. I don't care if Herbert throws for 340 as long as he's not throwing for 340 and 4 touchdowns. Like, I think that's a win. And kind of like I said too. Bosa. Oh, go ahead.
We all know about Bosa. What do you think of their defense? And what are we looking at? That's probably what this game will come down to. That's what most of them come down to anyway. We know their offense is going to do what they do. Keenan Allen's good. They've got weapons all over the place. They seem to always have weapons all over the place. Offensive line can be a question. And that defense, they have Bosa, James, who else? What are you expecting Sunday from that side?
Like I mentioned earlier, they've got Bosa and they've got Khalil Mack, obviously two premier edge rushers. Mack may be past his prime, maybe still in the end of his prime. So they're obviously guys that are going to command some serious attention. But outside of that, their defensive line line doesn't have that much of a rotation, so I'm not super scared of them. They have Eric Kendricks. I think he's a fantastic linebacker. I would have loved to get him as soon as he hit the free agent market. I think it was this offseason. I always think he's an incredible player, and he had like a kajillion tackles last week. No surprise there. But yeah, you mentioned Derwin James. He's always going to be an incredible safety, and he can kind of do a lot of different things in the backfield. He's kind of like a utility knife, kind of like Byard is for us. So he's obviously a guy that can make a ton of plays. So Tannehill cannot be forcing passes his way, kind of like he did on Sunday. So I think as long as we take advantage of the matchups we can, we'll be all right. And I think we can get back to rolling. I don't need Tannehill to throw for 1,000 yards. I want Henry to touch the ball 25 to 30 times in the game. And I want Tajay Spears to relieve him, not to be featured more than Henry, because last Sunday he had more snaps than Henry in the entire game, which is insane to me. I need him to compliment Henry, not try to upseed him.
Big fella, what's the single biggest advantage the Titans have against the Chargers in this game? We're going to need that to be big time. We're going to need it to be at a premium position for us to win this game. Just honestly, like, what's our big leverage here? What's it going to come down to?
I'll tell you what, I say it every season, every week, the teams that have to try travel from West Coast to a different time zone, they are always at a disadvantage. And I get that maybe it seems less and less like a disadvantage anymore, and these teams adjust pretty well, and they've got the travel routine down pretty well. But as a guy who has literally traveled on a bus and forgotten my jock strap at a football game, there are tiny things that happen that you don't really account for and can really throw you off. Maybe it's something as simple as, Justin Herbert forgetting his rib pads, or maybe it's Joey Bosa forgetting the right cleats, or something ridiculous like that. But and not even to mention just the time change and playing earlier than what they're used to. It's just, that's always something I like to keep in my back pocket. And I'd like to think that with being our home opener, with maybe a little bit of extra juice, throws the wind in our sails.
You know, I think their offensive line, they've got some names. They've got some first round picks there on the left-hand side. Rashawn Slater's a really good player, come back from injury. Zion Johnson is a first round pick, the 17th overall pick in the 2022 draft. That right hand side, Jeremy Sawyer, Trey Pipkins, they're young players. Everybody on that line is young. I think that is how we saw our strength with our defensive line. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal nationally because they're not named guys, right? Arden Key is in his first year with us, I think at least his third team. We know how good Autry is, but a lot of people outside of Indianapolis and in Tennessee don't know how good he is. Harold Landry is a really good player. There's hopefully some depth there. They could get after that right-hand side, especially move around, do some matchups, and really make them pay. That, to me, that's the way we win this game.
Yeah, I would totally agree.
And you're right, their defensive backfield is, J.C. Jackson just does not play that well anymore. To me, he had some really dumb penalties last week.
We could
hopefully make something happen if our two guys are healthy enough to go, but I'm not going to say that our receiving corps, although it's a lot better than last year, maybe they can do it, but I really think let's go with our strength last week and let's just hope this offensive line, I don't see it. Now, they've got a lot of good weapons, but when it comes down to it in the fourth quarter, hopefully our guys will be rotating in and out, and we'll see them do what they did Sunday.
At
the fake Superdome, right?
Fake Superdome. But I like what you said about J.C. Jackson. Most NFL fans know who he is because he's a flashy name and people have heard of him, but he really hasn't played super well over the last probably 2 or 3 years. I'd say his first 3 years were incredible and he played really well, but has fallen off quite a bit too since then. And then they do have Asante Samuel Jr., which, he's
a good player.
He is a very good player, but he's still young. He's still coming into his own. It's his third year. I'd look at him as probably about an average to a slightly above average corner. So he's obviously a guy that we're going to have to look at and keep tabs on. And again, don't force throws to. Like, that's just the name of the game. And if I could tell Tannehill anything, it would be like, dude, hit an open receiver, take the extra second and a half, because you'll probably have it against this defensive front, and find the open guy. There were so many missed open throws on Sunday that it actually is mind-blowing to me that we didn't win by 30.
So, Big Phillip, they have quite the depth at receiver, the Chargers, but really show out as much last week besides Keenan Allen, but who is just ageless. We were talking about that before. But Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Josh Palmer, who played at Tennessee, he didn't do anything last week. He's a good player. Quentin Johnson's our first-round pick. You scared at all of that team against our defensive backfield? I know our safeties have played well. You worried about them in open space on that new turf Sunday?
I do a little bit. You know, cornerback is always going to be a big fear for me, and we're not really well-equipped. We don't have a deep cornerback room, so it is a little concerning for me. Like you mentioned, Keenan Allen, the ageless wonder. I'm just waiting for one of these days for his leg to just fall off, or, you know, something, his beard to fall off his face. Who knows? But he is always Mr. Reliable, Old Faithful there. Mike Williams is always really good. He's kind of come into his own. Hard to believe it's his seventh year. That guy, he feels like he's just a brand new player to me. But he had 45 yards on four catches on Sunday. Like you mentioned, Palmer, he didn't really do anything. He had one catch for a couple yards, and Quentin Johnson only had two catches for 9 yards. However, these are guys that we can't underestimate, and I want to make sure that our quarterback room is very much aware of them, and I'm sure they will be. I'd like to think they will be. Shane Bowen usually has these guys ready to go. It's just, can they execute? And that's what we really have to see. One guy that the Chargers do have in their receiver room that I really like is Keelan Doss. You guys might remember him from a couple seasons ago where he was thrust into the spotlight on Hard Knocks with the Raiders, and he was showing out like crazy in the preseason. And it was the same thing with Darren Waller. But Keelan Doss, he's a guy, I don't know if they'll actually dress him on Sunday, but if they do, he's a guy we'll have to watch out for too. That could be easily their fifth guy in that rotation. I would probably bet that he is.
He is not listed on their depth chart, but they have a pretty deep room there. It's scary. I won't lie, it's scary, but you know, Miami found a way to kind of bottle them up, and they've had injuries in their defensive backfield, so who knows? big fella, give me a prediction.
Oh, all right. I'm going to go with my heart, which is what I always do, as all of you know. I'm going to say that Tannehill turns this thing around and we get back to winning football and we see a D-Hop, Treylon Burks, and Derrick Henry show. I'm going to say Titans win 35-28.
We're going to put up 35 points, huh?
Yeah, you better believe it. And you know what? I'm going to go even bolder. I'm going to say there are going to be 14 points that we're going to put up in the fourth quarter.
Well, I can see that having everything fall apart. But yeah, let's say it. I like it. Let's go with it. Big fella, it didn't go great for us last week on our birthday weekend, but this feels like my birthday coming up. We're going to have our first tailgate.
Well, hold on. What's your prediction? Or are you just jumping on mine?
Yeah, jumping on yours.
All right, then we're good.
I assumed it would be that you think the Titans are going to win 100-0, so I was going to go with that. But yeah, let's do it. Let's win by a touchdown.
All right, I change it. 100-0, Titans all day, baby.
Rally in the fourth, two touchdowns. We all leave happy. Boom. Big fella, we get our first tailgate of the season. Now we're very pumped about that.
Oh, I can't wait. Like we talked about on our last episode, getting back with the old crew and seeing all of the people who we haven't seen since, you know, the bitter end to last season. It'll be great. We'll see Robert, you know, directing traffic up in 331. We'll catch up with the Brats and Reed in our normal parking lot tailgating spot. And, you know, we'll have a good time up in 331. So, yeah, I can't wait.
So the thing about, well, almost all of our games are 12 kickoff because we don't do a lot of prime time or afternoon stuff at home for sure. But it's really fun to get out there early. We try to get, you know, in the roll in the parking lot at least by 9. It's interesting because we grill some, but nobody's hungry for brats except me and you. Nobody's hungry for brats at like 9:30. So I don't know. This year, what do you say? Like maybe do some. Remember those fritters from last year? Somebody brought from Donut. Oh. I'm thinking maybe like bring the fritters. Maybe get some breakfast style stuff. I mean, should we?
Or how
I mean,
about I'm a charcuterie like, board?
A charcuterie board. But you know, we have brought a lot of food: hot chicken, grilling, pizza, and people don't really eat it because it's 9:15 in the morning. Doesn't stop people from drinking beer, but so I mean, should we? Maybe I'll put a on Spotify. I'll put a poll up. I mean, is it best if you're visiting people, like if they have like, we could get really creative with, you know, they make those little pancakes that are corn dogs and have like the blueberry pancake and the sausage.
Oh my god!
I mean, should we really branch out?
Oof, man. What if we just showed up with a Blackstone and started doing like a pancake hibachi and omelet bar?
I would love it. And we always eat, but we're the only two that eat. So we just have all this food. One weekend last year, we had hot chicken. I ate it for like the whole week. No one touched it.
I don't know. When there's hot chicken, I usually put a pretty big dent on it, though. Well, so,
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. So I was just thinking, because I do think the maybe the best thing ever to be at our tailgate was those apple fritters from Donut Den. And
oh, man.
Close to there.
I feel like last...
Just go all out on that.
I feel like last season...
2 days ago, he was like, oh, yeah, I had the apple fritter. I was like, that is maybe the single best pastry in this town. He agreed. It is true. Maybe we build our whole tailgate around the apple fritter from Donut Den. Maybe we win a Super Bowl. I don't know.
Well, whatever happens, we got to stick to it. But I feel like last season, I ate a ton of cookies. I mean, I feel like I was just eating cookies every week. It was those dangerous chocolate peanut butter ones you brought. And then it's just like... Every week, there's a different cookie.
Yeah. I quit buying those because I don't think either one of us, you know, neither one of us have given up on dating. Let's say that. Just kidding, Chanel. Love you.
Yeah, right. I got a girlfriend and a wife on the side.
My girlfriend's going to be mad. My wife's going to be even madder. All right. Guys, it's been fun. We've had a good time talking about the Chargers. Hope we've gotten you a little more prepared. Find us at our tailgate. You know how to reach us. We will see you guys in 3:31 Sunday. Hopefully, we'll give you some very positive feedback Sunday or Monday about this win. Until then, tighten up.
Tighten up.